AM is preaching the gospel on one side of the earth and on the other side of the earth, all at the same time. Isn't that cool? That's cool. That's cool. Our pastor is on the other side of the world preaching the gospel. Man, I just think that's awesome. Amen. Now, there's some fasting that's going on. There's some praying that's going on. If you're not part of the app, what is that? It's the text remind deal. It says in your bulletin how to do it. It's right there on the front. Like, you text something to a particular number, and then you're on the reminders with us. What we're doing is we're reminding everybody when the fasts happen, what we're praying for, that kind of thing. So we encourage you to get involved with that, because Pastor Paul, there's already a lot of pulling that's happening on him. You know, he's getting pulled a lot as far as spiritually, and so we're there to support him. We're his support group. You know, even though we're not with him, we're there to support him in the spirit. So if you could be a part of that, we would really appreciate it. I think the fast, we're fasting this supper tonight, right? So no supper tonight. And a fast doesn't mean that you don't eat and watch TV. The Bible says prayer and fasting. So they kind of go hand in hand. You don't just skip a meal and sit there and think about how hungry you are, you know. And watch Doritos on TV and Burger King and all that. It don't help. It don't do nothing. So if you're not going to pray, don't worry about the fast. But if you are fasting, you need to be praying. Okay? All right. Good deal. So anyway, he has sent some pictures already, hasn't he? I've not seen them. Have you seen them? Look at there. Hey! Look at him. Check him out. Look. He is. Yeah! That's right. I wonder if the translator's keeping up with him. Oh, no. What's next? You got another one, Sarah? Is that it? That's it? He just sent two pictures? What's wrong with him? Back up and show us the first one again. Hey! Yeah. All right, now the next one. Hey! Now back up again. Hey! One more time. Hey! All right, good deal. He sent us a bunch of pictures, didn't he, y'all? No, but seriously, I'll play on the side. We need to be believing God for our pastor. Not only that the gospel come forth, but that he's protected. You know, I mean, the Psalm 91, we've been praying Psalm 91 around him, that 1,000 may fall at his side and 10,000 at his right hand, but it shall not come near him, that nothing will be able to come against him. The angels of God will accompany, defend, preserve him, keep him safe. All right, while he's out there doing the work of the ministry, because I can promise you that he's believing God. You know, the Bible says that in my name they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues. What else will happen? If they drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them. They'll take up serpents and they won't hurt them. What that means is won't no stuff be able to jack with it. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So that's what he's doing right now. So please be in prayer for our pastor. And we're just excited about what God's doing. We think that he's walking. Right now, he is fulfilling the plan of God for his life, for his ministry. He and Ginger's ministry is a worldwide ministry. It's not just for Minden. It is around this world. And we believe that the plan of God is being fulfilled right now. I've said it to him. I'll go ahead and share it here. I've said it to him, and I think I've even said it to some of the leadership. This year, 2015, for CCAM, will be the year when we look back where we said that year is when it turned. We turned that corner of all the mess, and that's the year that we sprung out, and that the ministry took off to the next level. There's been some prophecy that's come to Pastor Paul that I'm not going to share this morning, but he's been prophesied over by a man of God over in Shreveport that we all hold near and dear. I mean, he specifically called him out couple hundred people, 300 people in the room, called him out and had a specific word for him straight from heaven's throne room. We believe God that this year, this time, right now, where we are right now, we are now taking off. CCAM, it's a whole brand new day. It's a new light. It's a new day. It's a new step. Everything that we've done up to this point has been preparation for where we're going now. Everything that's been done is preparation for right now. So we're excited. We're pumped up. Man, now we're going to look back, Pastor Matt. You're going to look back and say 15 was it. Greg was right. Anyway, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that as we open up your word today, Father, you'll help us to complete it, fulfill it. Father, we tender our ground, prepare our hearts to receive your good word that'll come back on us, Father, some 30, some 60, and 100-fold. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody agree with that said. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 5. Woo! Woo! Man. Mark chapter 5. One of my favorite is little stories in here. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she'd heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well or whole." And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole," or well. "Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Man, I just love this story, man. Because, I mean, there's a lot that goes on there. Faith is kind of a peculiar thing. Faith takes not only, a believing side of it, but faith has to have some action and some flow behind it. It's got to have some things behind it. To just sit back and just believe really is not really accomplishing the full faith message. I'll take you to Romans chapter 10. If you go to Romans chapter 10, verse 8, can you go there, Sarah, for me? Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Because Romans chapter 10, what does it say? That's a good question. What really does it say? Let's look at it. "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Verse 9. "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Verse 10. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Paul, when he was writing to the Romans, said, "Look, we've got this word that we're preaching, and it's the word of faith. And this thing is so close to you. It's in your heart and in your mouth." And he goes on, this next scripture is the one that most ministers use whenever they're trying to talk to you about getting saved. "Hey, I want to be born again. What is it that I need to do?" "Well, you got to pray this prayer." And they talk about that. And in this prayer, they say out of their mouth that Jesus is their Lord. And that he died and in 3 days rose again. And they actually speak it out of their mouth. If you think about your salvation experience, your personal salvation experience, some person asked you to pray a prayer and said, "Say this after me." Something came out of your mouth that pronounced what it was that you believed was happening in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Faith is not simply a sit back and believe, but faith has some form of action that's attached to it. It has to move forward. And Paul, this is not the only place, but Paul goes on and on again so much about what we say. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. I'm doing this on the fly. Isn't that fun? I think it's 2 Corinthians 4, 13. We'll see. Let's see if I'm right. It may be 1 Corinthians. You with me, Sarah? Oh, I got it right. "And since we have," what? "The same spirit of faith, according to what was written," and this is right here, Psalm 116, "I believed and therefore have I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." This is the spirit of faith. This is the core of what that thing is trying to do. It's the spirit of the faith. It is the intent of faith is for us to believe something And so much so that we say the something out of our mouth, that we believe it. Let's do another one. Mark 11, 23, 24. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. Mark 11, 23, 24. Anybody could quote it? I can. No, you're reading. That comes Stephen, boy. I mean, if, you know, sometimes I just want to, you know, if I got a mood to slap somebody, I just have Stephen over the house. I just get him over and slap him. Yeah, it's a hug. That's what I tell him it is. He really thinks a hug's slapping you. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Jesus was pointing at him. Jesus is talking. These letters are red in my Bible. Jesus is talking. And he said, right before this, the verse before, he says, have faith in God. The verses before that, he was cleaning out the money changers in the temple. They came back. There was a fig tree that he had cursed before. And the disciples said, hey, look, master, that fig tree that you cursed is dried up from the roots. He says, have faith in God, and says this, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, and I believe in all my heart, when we get to heaven and we ask for the rerun of this thing happening, he's going to point at a mountain. It's going to be something right there, something literal, something that's really in the way, something that's really there. Not just pie in the sky, oh, that's a churchy thing. We're talking about real, for real, life problems, things that you can touch, things you can look at, things you can point at. I say to this, that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you've received them, and you shall have them. Whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you've received them, and you shall have them. Now, let me ask you a question. What happens while you pray? What are you doing when you pray? What do you do when you pray? I don't know about you. Whenever I pray, I open my mouth and start saying some stuff. My mouth is moving. My tongue is moving. I am engaged in a process. And when I do this, Jesus says, when you do that, when you open your mouth and begin to speak out things and begin to pray for things, believe that those things that you're praying for, that you'll have them, and they'll be, you'll have them. Believe that you've received them, and you'll have them. Y'all following me here? I'm trying to lay a foundation before I get over into the lady. So whenever we look at faith and what faith is Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is the substance of things that we hope for, the evidence of things that we can't see. So substance is something you can lay hold to. It's got substance. It's evidence of things we can't see, evidence you can see. So faith is this thing that we have that shows that we believe a particular thing. And it's all based on action. We receive the spirit of faith, you know, we believe and therefore we speak. Everything that has to do with faith is an act. Faith is an act. Faith is movement. Faith is just believing is kind of sitting back and, yeah, I believe that thing. And, yeah, that's what I believe. Yeah, that's belief. But to have faith for something is whenever you act upon it. I've done this before. Hold on. Where's a stool? Y'all had them all up here? Just a minute. What? Got it. There was one behind the keyboard. It's all right. I got this one. If I believe that this chair or stool can hold me up, I'm doing that right now. Man, I believe that stool can hold me up. I believe it. Man, look at that thing. Check the legs on it. Yeah. Boy, I believe. I sure believe. I believe that thing will hold me up. I really do. I believe it. All my heart, I believe that that thing's going to hold me up. I believe it. Man, I'm telling you, I really believe it. I believe it. I promise you I believe it. I do. I do. I believe it. Right here, better yet, let me sit here and believe like most Christians do. I mean, I believe in y'all. Watch me. True faith takes action, acting upon what we believe is really supposed to be. This thing can hold me up. These light switches in here, we have more faith in these light switches than we do our God. We will reach up there and flip a light switch, and when the light doesn't come on, we try to figure out why it's not working. You believe God and start praying for things, and stuff don't work, and all you're going to say is, God just don't want me to have it. We got more faith in stuff than we do in the Almighty. The Almighty is looking down from heaven, has done completed everything that is in the complete work of salvation. It's called sozo is the word that we use. It's a complete work. Salvation is not just you getting to go to heaven. Salvation is complete redemption from the fall of mankind, which means that you're put back in the Garden of Eden, figuratively speaking, and the way it was with Adam and Eve before the enemy ever came on the scene is the way it is for you today. It's right back. It's a full redemption plan. But yet, whenever we get back and we start praying and things not happening and things aren't moving, man, we'll just, must not be God. Pastor didn't know what he was talking about. I ain't going back to that church. And all it is that we weren't willing to act upon what we were believing. It takes action. So this lady with the issue of blood, it had been, how many years? Does it say how many years? Is it 40 years, I think? You read the whole chapter. It's 40 years this woman been dealing with this thing. It's an issue of blood. 12? Excuse me. Wrong story. 40 sounds better. 12, 10 minutes. If you're dealing with anything that's not supposed to be on you for more than 10 minutes, you dealt with it more than you should. Because Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the stripes of Jesus were laid so that you could be healed. If you're walking in that stuff for longer than that, then we got to figure out why the light switch is not turning the light on. Because that thing ought to come on. So this lady had been this way for 12 years. And she heard that Jesus could do some things. All right? Now, her hearing is kind of a funky thing. Do I hear? Do I enact on the hearing, or does the hearing just kind of happen because I'm in the vicinity of something? You know, am I just hearing stuff because I'm around that stuff, or am I actively attaching myself to the thing? All right. So this woman had been around enough people to hear that Jesus would do thus and such, this and that. All right. And so in that act, I can't tell you whether or not she said, oh, you know, I don't know that she went looking to see if Jesus was a particular thing or if she just happened to hear about it and said, man, that sounds like something I need to take note of. I don't know about that. And I say that because I'm getting into what she did, okay? This woman heard that Jesus could do some stuff. She heard that thing. And then the Bible says that she went and pressed in the crowd because she had said, if I only may touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Now, I try not to get too Greekified and all that kind of thing, but the Strong says that that word said is a word that's called Lego. Y'all know what Legos are? Man, I love a Lego, dude. You put the things together and they make something. Huh? So when she said, Jesus, the scripture that I had up there about the mountain, and Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, that word say in the original handwriting is Lego. Okay? When this woman said that if all I have to do is touch the hem of his garment, that word say is Lego. And the Bible has about four or five different words that have been translated into the word say. In our language, saying is saying. That's what it is. Tip of the deal, we're done. But Lego is just like the toy itself. Like if y'all know what Legos are, right? Right? And you get the Lego, it comes in a box, right? Right? And then you take them out of the box and in a little plastic thing, right? In a little plastic bag inside the box, kind of like cereal, right? And you bust them out, and you get all these little pieces, and there's all these pieces everywhere. Legos, been to put something together. But included in the Legos, whether or not you want to use it, are directions on how the things are put together. And it is that a systematic formula for put, there is a system of putting that thing together. There is a step-by-step system of putting that thing together. And when you set yourself to put that thing together, you follow step-by-step of what it is you're trying to build, right? I mean, I'm sorry, Legos. We put them together based on a system that's been set in front of us to put those things together. The word Lego not only means to say, but it means to... Here, let me read all this mess to you. It's a mess. Am I losing y'all? If I'm losing y'all, preach something else. It means to say, to speak, to affirm over, to maintain, to teach, to exhort, to advise, to command, direct, to point out with words, intend, mean to say, call by name, to call out, to speak out, make mention of. The Strong says that it means to lay forth, lay forth, and to relate in words that to relate in words a systematic or set discourse. I know that's a lot. This ain't, you know, English 105, okay, or 205. A discourse is a speech, okay? That's what that word means, a set speech, a systematic set speech. This woman heard that Jesus could make her well, and she set herself to systematically speak, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. It's a system. It's a set speaking. It's a set discourse. It is not anything to where how do I say this, Lord? We call those things that be not as though they were. Right? Because the things that are unseen are eternal, but the things that are seen are temporary. So the stuff that we can see is subject to change. What we're looking at is subject to change. If I think I'm overweight, that is subject to change. I could change that thing. If I set myself to eat right and to exercise. So if we're looking at a point in our life where we read in the Word that we're supposed to be healed, or that our finances are supposed to be right, or that things are supposed to be a particular way, and we read it in the Word, but then we look at those things that are in front of us and they're not there, if we set ourselves in a system to make that change will happen. Y'all following me here? It's to let go. It is to speak in a systematic way that changes your environment. God did this in Genesis chapter 1. This is what he did. In the beginning, there wasn't nothing. Then God what? Let there be light. And what happened? The light came. Then what did he do? He spoke again. And then God said this. And then God said this. And then God said this. He set himself in a set systematic discourse to change the environment in which he was in. All right. Now, I'm not looking for clapping. I'm looking for people to actually see change in their lives. I am tired of, and in this area, here it comes. I am tired of hearing things that have not changed in our lives. I'm sick of it. I've had all of it I want. And if this is going to be the year where we turn the corner, we're going to have to start turning the corner. It's going to be time for us to get set in what the Word of God says, and that is the bottom line no matter what. If we are going to take this thing to the place where Paul has seen the vision, seen us being it, if we're going to go where Pastor says we're going to go, it's going to have to take faith, and we can't get caught up looking at the way the things are. We have to set ourselves on what the Word has said and move into it. That's why we're in this thing. We have got to set ourselves to say what the Bible says. To stand up and say, no, I'm sorry. That marriage thing that you have trying to do in the nation ain't going to work for us. I'm going to set myself in this speech and say, no, it ain't right. I'm going to say it's a sin because that's what it is. I love the people, but that's a sin. And that's all it is. If we as a church are going to get to where we get, it's going to take faith. But for so many years, we sit back and say faith like it's some frivolous little thing that, oh, it's just faith. And it's just like it's like you can't reach it. You can't touch it. It's like the air. But I'm here to tell you, this woman with the issue of blood set herself to say, all I got to do is that right there. And it'll be made whole. That's faith. All I got to do is set my, it touch the hem of his garment and I will be made whole. Philemon 6. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards all the saints, that the sharing or communication of your faith might become effective by the acknowledgement of everything that is in you in Christ Jesus. Y'all got it up there? The sharing or the communication of your faith becomes effective when you acknowledge every good thing that is in you where? In Christ. And where do you find those things? Right here. 66 books of what Jesus did for us right here. You want to know what you look like? It's in here. If you don't like the way you look today, it's because you've not seen him lately. You need to take a look at him. Put him on the forefront. Put him in his eyes. If you don't like your situation, look at Jesus and begin to say what it is that you are and what you have in him. I mean, it's just strong on me. It's strong on me. If we're going to get where we need to get, we got to have some faith up in here. And I ain't no talking about no little, oh, I believe with you. No, I'm talking about you grab them right there. And you start to proclaim the word of God over whatever's going on right there in that spot. I ain't going to pray for you tomorrow. We're going to do it right now today. And here's the other thing. You got to have enough word in you to know how to pray. That word better be up in you if you're just up there saying whatever. God can't put his stamp of approval on it if you're not saying his words. He can't bless it. Up there willy-nilly saying whatever. Oh, Lord, if it be your will. All right, there you go. You just screwed the whole thing up right now because you don't know. You don't know if it's his will or not. He gave you 66 books of what his will is. Let's look in there and find out what his will is and then pray that. James chapter 2. Let's go there. Is this making sense to y'all? Ooh, I got 5 minutes. I'm going to take 10. If you got to go, get up. Bye. See y'all later. Love you. You can go. There is no penalty. There is no shame. There is no... I'm not going to get offended. If you got someplace to be, get up and go. Bye. I know. I'm going over. Get it. But I just got this thing burning in me. James 2. Verse 20. Where am I at? But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is what? Dead. Don't you realize this is the wandering Bible, I think is what they call it. Don't you realize, my poor fellow, that faith without action is an empty husk? It ain't got no fruit in it. You ever pulled out an ear of corn that you pull the husk back and there ain't no corn in there? If it does, you're going to be upset, aren't you? Because why? There's supposed to be corn in there. The fruit. God looks at sometimes what we're doing, your faith without corresponding action, is just, he pulls the husk back and goes, what? There ain't no fruit up in this thing. Verse 17 says the same thing. without faith that doesn't have works, it's dead. And works is not talking about, I'm not saying that you got to do this, and then you reach the goal. What I mean by works is that it has action behind it. I believe the chair is going to hold me up. I've centered myself on that. I have made a quality decision that the chair can hold me up. So what do? I put action with it, sit in the chair, and that is faith. Because I got faith in the chair. The chair you're sitting in, you got faith in that thing because you didn't even check it out before you sat in it. You just sat down. Didn't even worry about it. But God, you got it, man. You know, we're going to pray for years. And anyway, I'm going to get off that. That ain't right, is it? What we have to do and have to realize is that Jesus himself, when he came to the earth and walked on the earth and did all that he did as far as miracles, signs, and wonders and said all that he said, he was not trying to increase God's capacity to give to mankind. That's not why Jesus came. God is already a giving God. The Almighty already loves people and is willing to give all of himself to. So Jesus didn't come here to increase God's capacity to give. What he did do is he came here to increase our capacity to receive from God. If you notice everything that Jesus did, Jesus was always working on the capacity of man to believe. The dude with the kid that kept throwing himself in the water and in the fire, he had seizures, and the seizures would take him, and he ended up in the water and in the fire. And the daddy came to Jesus and said, if you could do anything, you can hear my son. And Jesus says, if I can. What do you mean if I can? All things are possible to him that believes. It's not a question of whether or not God can fulfill whatever it is your dreams, hopes, and desires are. It's a question of whether or not you can receive from him what he has already provided in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's already done. The thing is done. All right, two more things and I'm gone. Back to Mark chapter 5. So this little old lady said all I got to do, and she kept on saying the Amplified Bible. If y'all have the Amplified Bible, do y'all know what that Bible is? The Amplified? Anybody in here ever read the Amplified Bible? You know, that's the woman's Bible. You know why, don't you? It's got twice as many words in it as a regular Bible. Lots of words. Very descriptive, adjective after adjective after adjective. The Amplified, though, says that she said and kept on saying. Lego. Kept on, set herself in a proper discourse. Set herself in what she was saying. Set herself and kept on saying that thing. Then she shows up on the scene where Jesus is, right? And there's people everywhere. Look like Disney World at Christmas. Folk all over the place. If you ever go to Disney World at Christmas, go at Halloween. It's better. I mean, Christmas, there are people everywhere. You just all up on folk, you know. And don't nobody speak English. There ain't a person in there to speak English. You say, excuse me, and they go, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what they're saying. Excuse, I'm sorry. God bless you. So she shows up at this place. Jesus is like Disney World, right? And there's people everywhere. And they're all around him. Either the disciples said, Lord, what you mean? Who touched you? There are people all over the place touching you. This woman gets there, and she has to get to him. Because she said up to this point, all I got to do is touch the hem of his garment, right? And so she had to press through some people and some junk. When you decide that you're about to walk and live a life of faith, there's going to be all kind of people and junk around you trying to keep you from getting to where you need to get to. This woman pressed through all that mess. Religion, church folk. I mean, my goodness gracious. God bless church folk. All right? Just Lord bless them. Help them out. Friends, family. When you decide that you want to live this kind of life, and people start hearing you talk about things that they can't see yet, but you act like they're already there,
You're peculiar now. You weird. They looking at you funny. That's funny. I don't understand that. No, you don't. Because I have set myself in this way of living. I have set myself that I'm going to say what God says. I'm going to acknowledge what's in me in Christ. I'm going to acknowledge those things. Not necessarily what the deal is. I mean, the Lord's dealt with us time and time again. You know, I used to fuss about our money. Angel told you at the offering. Fussed about money. My goodness, I could fuss about some money. I'm a banker. That's right. Ooh, I can get in there. I mean, I know all the ins and outs of it. I can tell you how money could be bad. I can tell you where the problems is. I can point them out. I can do all that. And we were trying to give more and do more and be more and can't figure it out. I even said something to Pastor Paul about it. I mean, it's recent. I said something to Paul about it. I'm like, man, I don't get it, man. I'm just doing all I can do. Trying to give all I can give. And he came in one day. I don't know if I've ever told you this. You remember that? Remember he came in my office? He came in my office one day. I'm sitting there. I'm working, doing my thing. Paul Gray walks in. He comes in about once a week, maybe twice a week, at least on Monday mornings, about 10 o'clock, he's there. So if y'all want to see your pastor, he's at the bank, 10 o'clock, Monday morning. Because we're going over everything and looking ahead for the next week. He came walking in, stood in front of my desk, didn't sit down like he normally does, and he says, the Lord told me to tell you to shut up and sit down, and walked out. That's what he said. That's some strong words, amen? Shut up, sit down. He said that to me. And I was taken aback, of course. And I said, all right. I mean, me and Paul, we buds. He ain't going to come in and just do that just because. Lord said, sit down, shut up. All right. So, spiritually speaking, I sat down. Go rest in the things that he said. I'm going to rest in what he said. He said that he was going to fulfill all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm going to rest in that thing. And the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to shut up. Because every point up till then, I had been complaining about money every day. Get up in the morning, complain about money. Go to bed at night, complaining about money. Sit at the bank and complain about money. Go to the house, complain about money. Come up at the church, go complain about money. Complain, 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 complain. Just like the children of Israel. The Lord needed me to shut my mouth because the discourse in which I had set myself was contrary to his word, and he couldn't bless me. He couldn't do it. Because I have an overrider. I can override the authority of the Holy One of Israel simply with my tongue. And if you don't believe that, go find you somebody out here who's an atheist and try to get them saved. They will override the Holy One of Israel because of their tongue. Because their tongue is set in a discourse that's contrary to the word. Because their salvation experience can be reached simply by praying the sinner's prayer and acknowledging out of their mouth that Jesus is their Lord. Am I wrong or am I right? He who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I know that this baptism and all, baptism in water, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, yes. But he who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved. So if those people just simply changed the way they spoke, they could enter into, because out of the mouth, the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to do what? It's going to speak. Two places where you can find out where people's heart is. First one is in their pocketbook, and the second place is in their mouth. You let me see your checkbook and let me spend an hour with you, I'll tell you what you love. I'll tell you real quick what you love, because you're writing checks on it and you talk about it all the time. Ooh. So we have the capability of overriding God. Complaining. How are we going to, man, there ain't no way we can do that. You're going to hear some things come from Pastor Paul that you have never heard before when he gets back. There's going to be direction that you have not heard before. There are going to be some specifics that you've never heard him say before. And the last thing any of us need to do is start talking about how we can't. Because he has received direction from heaven. I feel like, what's that movie? Pirates of the Caribbean? Remember Captain Jack Sparrow? He had the compass that didn't point anywhere because it pointed to what you wanted the most, and he couldn't figure out what he wanted. But whenever he finally decided what he wanted, it pointed. And his first mate, I can't remember his name, Gibbs looked over his shoulder, looked up. That boy knows some movies, don't he? Looks over his shoulder and says, "We have a heading. Let's go." I feel like I'm Gibbs. I'm looking over his shoulder. We've been looking. We've been waiting to hear from God, and he's got a direction. And I'm Gibbs looking over his shoulder going, "All right, we finna go. And I need the whole ship to come on. We got to come on. We got to get this thing done. There is a plan. There is a vision. And it all is God ordained. And it's time for CCAM to quit playing. We do stuff. Don't get me wrong. We are the doingest church in town. If you ask, we do all kind of stuff. But in my opinion, playtime's over. It's time to get serious about this thing. The world's getting darker. We're going to start shining even brighter than we ever have before. Now is the time. Now's the time. I mean, I know we feed a lot of folks. What is 1,000 families? 640? It should be 3,000. And when you start hearing those numbers, we can't hear no, "Oh, there ain't no way we can do that. We don't have a facility. We do blah, 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 blah." I don't need to hear that. It's time. And what I'm trying to say here, and this time to go, trying to say here is, remember the woman with the issue of blood. She simply heard that Jesus could do some things. He can do some things to change her situation. And so she set herself to say, "All I got to do is touch the hem of his garment," press through all the mess, all the junk, and got there. And here's the last point. I'm going to shut up. We're going to pray right after this. And Jesus looked at her when it was all said and done, and he said, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." He didn't say my power. He didn't say just because I'm here. He didn't. In fact, he wanted to know who had tapped into the source. He didn't even know she was there. Your faith, CCAM, can make you whole. Your faith can make you whole. You have faith to believe that everything that he said is done, and it will make you whole. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the opportunity that you're giving us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in this place, in this ministry. Father, we thank you for the direction that you are giving us, Father. We thank you for the vision. Father, we're thankful that now we have an opportunity to be a part of what you're doing in this area, in this nation, and in this world. Father, we now set ourselves to follow after what it is that you've called us to do and to tell us to do, Father. We set ourselves to do what it is your word says, to make ourselves a learner of your word, to make ourselves a student of what you have given us, to know the things of God so well that people will begin to come to us for advice and how to get things done. To know what it is that you've called us to do, Father, and to know what it is that your word says. We now set ourselves in that, Father. And we're thankful for this vision. We're thankful for this ministry. Father, we're thankful for the blood of Jesus that was shed for our healing, for our salvation. Shed for us. Anybody in here, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord. You've never said those words, "Hey, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of your life, of my life." Anybody never done that, raise your hand. We will pray for you. Those words will come out of your mouth, and you will make Jesus the Lord of your life. Anybody?